Welcome to the Holy Spirit's Curriculum of Joy podcast. My name is Wanako Overheaver, and I'm your host. My guest today is Susan Michael. Hi, and welcome.
Hi, thank you. It's great to be here.
Thank you for joining me, and let's get started with a big question. How did you come to see the world the way you do today?
Yeah, that is a big question. I just finished and published my book, Surrender to Joy, From Suicide to Serenity. And I think that the time in my life, 38 years ago, when I was suicidal, was a pivotal point in my journey. I ended up at that time ingesting 6 bottles of sleeping pills. I realized that I did not really want to die. I just did not want to feel all that pain. I wanted to kill the pain, and I didn't have the tools to deal with it. So at that time, I did a lot of, I went through a lot of darkness, and it was really difficult. 5 years after that is when I found my GPS, which is A Course in Miracles, and that gave me the clearest understanding of my life's journey. As you know, the introduction starts out, nothing real can be threatened, nothing unreal exists, herein lies the peace of God. So when I am going through life's challenges, I rely on the insight and wisdom of A Course in Miracles as my guidance system. So that is how I really found my way and my clarity of seeing this world. I mean, A Course in Miracles even goes deeper into it by saying there is no world. Well, we're always creating our own reality by what is going on in internally. So I always try to remember that as well. And whenever I'm experiencing the good and the bad, I always do my best to keep myself plugged into my God socket to access that inner wisdom. I guess before A Course in Miracles, I looked to the world for my peace, love, joy, and happiness. After A Course in Miracles, I looked to God and my inner wisdom for guidance.
Remember to mute and unmute. Stops when you want me to speak. Okay. Yeah, so this inner guidance through A Course in Miracles was a sort of became later on. So you had already decided you want to live, you want to find a better way of living, and then the course came into your life, right?
Yes, that's exactly right. Before A Course in Miracles, I would try to find my satisfaction from the world. After A Course in Miracles, I always did my best to access my peace from within. After A Course in Miracles, I lived from the inside out instead of from the outside in. I mean, right before I went through that period of darkness where I was suicidal, I thought that if I could attain what I wanted in the outer world at the time, I was 20 years old, and I thought that if only I could become a fashion model and look really good on the outside and start seeing myself in the magazines and such, I would feel good about myself on the inside. So I went through this long journey to get what I wanted in the external world. I had some cosmetic procedures done. I worked out and dieted and did everything I could to perfect the external. And then I picked up a agency, and all my external dreams came true. But I realized I felt just as anxiety ridden and lost on the inside. And that's when I fell into a deep depression. I think it happens to a lot of people when they look for satisfaction in the world. They get what they want in the world, but it doesn't provide the satisfaction that they're searching for. They get very discouraged. I mean, it happens time and time again to so many people. And that's why I learned that, I guess there's different techniques that you can use to find that satisfaction within first. There's different techniques that A Course in Miracles teaches, you know, such as, well, for me, it started out reading the text. There's the daily lessons, which I do now. Actually, today's lesson is a really great one, lesson 324. If you're going by the lesson of the year, I merely follow, for I would not lead. So it's a matter of you know, asking God for his guidance instead of trusting in ourself. It's a daily discipline, but it does work. It does work. It works if you work it. So work it, you're worth it. That's what I say. Because the other way of looking for what we want in the world just doesn't provide us with that satisfaction that we need.
So what changed in your life because of this change of ideas or this new way of seeing things?
Well, I started to feel better more of the time. I started to release a lot of the anxiety that I was feeling pretty regularly. I just started feeling more connected to true peace, love, joy, and happiness. I mean, the introduction of my book starts out, and my passion is God. He is love and joy and beauty. He is all that is good in the world. Everything else is our own miscreation. When we are filled with joy, we are connected to God. When we are not joyful, we have lost our connection to all that is real. This is my message. It can be clarified with three simple words: surrender to joy. There is nothing to find. All we need to do is surrender. So I started to realize that God's will for me is peace, love, joy, and happiness. I started to realize that depending on him was the only thing that could bring me what I was looking for. I mean, it's a different viewpoint than traditional Christianity teaches, which made a lot more sense to me. I mean, even after I found A Course in Miracles, I found that a lot of unresolved feelings started coming up. But I guess through therapy, you know, I do believe in therapy. through A Course in Miracles knowledge about keeping it real and honoring what I need to feel, I found that I was able to, I guess, own the pain that had not been healed inside of me. And by owning it, by embracing it, by acknowledging it, I felt like I was able to overcome it. There's this other poem that I love. It is called The Invitation by Araya Mountain Dreamer. And what she says in the middle of her poem is, she says, "I want to know if you can sit with pain, mine or your own, without trying to hide it or fade it or fix it." So she talks about just being willing to honor the uncomfortable feelings within ourselves. And then in the very next line, she writes, "I want to know if you can dance with joy, allow the ecstasy to fill you from the tips of your fingers to the bottom of your toes, without, I want to know if you can be with joy, yours and mine, allow the ecstasy to fill you from the tips of your fingers to the bottom of your toes, without cautioning us to be careful, to be real, to remember the limitations of being human." So she has a line about joy right after the line about pain. So it's like, once we learn to just own the darkness, sit with our pain, we can overcome it and get to the other side. And I do feel that's what Course in Miracles is teaching as well, because, you know, in a lot of ways, A Course in Miracles is based on Freudian psychology. I believe it is. And I think before I found A Course in Miracles, you know, I just, tried to stay away from any painful feelings. Since A Course in Miracles, I try to stop and sit with the feelings. And by stopping and owning the feelings, I'm able to work through them. And I truly believe that's what A Course in Miracles is teaching. It talks all about bringing the darkness to the light. I was listening to another Marianne Williamson audible. It's kind of an old one. Tears to Triumph, Marianne Williamson. She's probably the most famous interpreter of A Course. And she clarifies so well about how we need to acknowledge the pain, to sit with the pain, even though our true essence is one of peace. We need to sit with the pain in order to get to the other side of it. So thank you for that question.
So are you saying you sat with pain for a long time before something shifted, or how did that go?
I think I sit with my pain in spurts, is how my life seems to play itself out. I think there was a lot of unresolved pain points from my childhood. And I think that after I learned that these unresolved issues from the unconscious mind needed to come up in order for healing to occur, the universe would actually trigger me at the times when I was ready to face them. And so I had an old pain point, you know, I mean, one, a big one for me was feeling separate. I was bullied in elementary school. And as a young girl, I would stand all alone by the fence while everybody else was playing. I was mocked by a lot of the students. So I kind of had this pain point in my unconscious mind about being separate from other people. And that was a deep one for me. It had to do with abandonment. So I think my journey, I don't think it's so different from everyone else's journey, is something in the world would trigger me to make me kind of relive this experience when I had the courage to own that pain point. By owning the pain point, I was able to work my way through it, get to a place of peace. And then at a later time, the universe would end up triggering another pain point that needed to be healed. You know, this wonderful Course in Miracles teacher that I listen to often, his name is Dove, David Fishman. He talks about how triggers are our teachers. And our triggers are showing us what is within us that has not yet been healed. And I think, I mean, the earth is a classroom. We're here to learn lessons, ultimately, you know, to love unconditionally is the lesson that we're all here to learn. Ultimately, we're all going to make our way back to heaven. Heaven is a state of mind. Heaven isn't a place. Heaven is a state of mind, you know, where we feel completely connected with our creator. So in order to get back to heaven, we need to release the darkness. We need to release the pain points. So part of the reason we're a big part of the reason we're here on this earthly plane is so we can bring the darkness to the light. So we can look to the mirror and face our pain. And by doing so, we see that it has no power over us. My husband had the Wizard of Oz on TV when I got home the other night. And I think the Wizard of Oz is such a brilliant analogy of the meaning of life. You know, Dorothy was at home with Auntie M, where she started, but then she started to think that life would be better on the other side of the rainbow somewhere else. Once she got to the land of Oz, all she wanted to do was to get back home. So she went through all these trials and tribulations. You know, the wicked witch of the West was chasing after her, trying to kill her and get the ruby red slippers, you know, but then ultimately at the end of the movie, you know, she realized that she could get home whenever she wanted to. And all she had to do is click her slippers together three times. And then she got back home. So what she wanted came true. But even deeper than that, there was no Oz. She was home safe in Kansas with Auntie M and her uncles the whole time. So again, that's a brilliant analogy to what A Course in Miracles is teaching us. We are home right here, right now in heaven. We're experiencing these challenges on the earthly plane in order to overcome our inner demons. But ultimately, we're safe at home with God all the time. It's not about finding anything. It's about remembering how much we already have access to.
Yeah, and it sounds nice and simple, but it, when you're not there, it doesn't feel that way. So what do you, how did you maneuver away from this where it wasn't simple to you, even though it sounded simple, and into the simplicity of it?
I mean, A Course in Miracles is simple. It's just not easy because I don't think I have, like I'm not able to stay plugged into my God socket all the time. I'm not able to, you know, enter that place of peace, love, joy, and happiness all the time. I think it's a discipline. There's different techniques that we can use to remember the truth about ourselves. There is meditation, which is really powerful, I believe, because it's not about A Course in Miracles doesn't claim to teach us the meaning of love, because love is who and what we are. So A Course in Miracles can't teach us the meaning of love. The only thing that it can do is it can show us the blocks to love's presence. So when the blocks come up, we can identify them and ask the Holy Spirit for help in releasing them, because I don't think I can do anything on my own. You know, I need to ask God for his guidance. But again, God is not something outside of me. God is something that I'm a part of. So I don't want to give my power away. I just want to let go and surrender and know that I'm a part of something that is always watching out for me. I mean, so you said, how do you do it? There's not one answer as to how to do it. It's about doing daily disciplines and allowing God to come into our hearts and help us to heal. I mean, A Course in Miracles tells us that we are much too tolerant of mind wandering. So it's about watching our thoughts. It's about, you know, just taking little steps each day to, you know, stay tapped into the truth of who and what we are. I mean, in my book, I write about different disciplines that we can do. I mean, the three that really, really help are forgiveness, acceptance, and gratitude. You know, whenever there's anyone that we hold a grievance towards, we're actually holding that grievance towards ourselves. Because A Course in Miracles says we have but God has but one son, and we're all part of that sonship. So whenever I'm angry at someone else, you know, whenever I try to project my anger, my guilt, or whatever onto someone else, it kind of comes back and it hits me in the head like a boomerang. So whenever I find myself holding on to a grievance, I just do my best to forgive that person. And it's not easy. It's simple, but it's not easy. You know, it's not what the world teaches. The other step is acceptance, accepting everything in my life exactly as it is right here, right now, the good and the bad. You know, the good is enjoyable. The challenging circumstances are teaching me lessons that my soul needs to learn. So it's about accepting my present life situation exactly as it is. And gratitude, you know, and when we're grateful for what we have, that's when we allow more positivity to come into our life. So A Course in Miracles talks about the three easiest ways to get back to heaven, which is a state of mind: forgiveness, gratitude, and acceptance. When you're feeling off, I mean, again, there's not one answer that can bring you back to truth. It's just doing your best to focus on something that will bring your mind closer to its center. And sometimes it can be a very little thing, sometimes I know when I'm in the midst of a chaotic feeling or emotion or time period, and I'm running, I run every day, you know, and then I see a deer or a rabbit, or I see something along the trail, and I just focus on the beauty of nature, you know, it helps to bring me back to my center. So there are different tools and techniques that are available to us. It's nice because, you know, through platforms like this and YouTube and TikTok, there is so much information available to us, but, you know, different strategies work at different times for different people.
So how does A Course in Miracles help you to be present in the moment?
The only time that we can feel God's presence is right here, right now. And A Course in Miracles stresses this over and over, because when we're thinking about the past, we're not in the present. When we're focusing on the future, we're not in the present. When we are still, I mean, the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. And A Course in Miracles says that over and over again in different ways. I mean, it's interesting because A Course in Miracles just keeps repeating the same thing over and over in different words. And to be totally present right here, right now is the only way for us to feel the essence of who we truly are. I mean, A Course in Miracles, well, there's three parts: the text, the workbook lessons, and the manual for teachers. The text helps us to understand God's message. The workbook for students helps us put it into practice. And the manual for teachers answers some really important questions. But A Course in Miracles is just telling us over and over again that now is the only time that there is. How does it tell? I mean, you can go to like so many of the lessons, and they all repeat that. Lesson 305, I'm just skimming through here, states there is a peace that Christ bestows on us, but the only way you can feel that peace is to be fully present in the moment. You know, I mean, it's you'll notice how when you start directing your attention to anything other than now, there's an anxiety that comes along with that. I know when I'm with a friend, I can really feel the difference between someone who is fully present with me right here, right now, and someone who is distracted all the time by cell phone and this and that. How do you do it? Again, I guess it's a practice. As with here's another lesson. Lesson 300. Only an instant does this world endure. I think for me, I do affirmations to stay present in the moment. You know, there's one kind of affirmation that I say a lot. What if everything is just perfect right here, right now? And it just kind of keeps me in the moment. It's, again, I think there is a discipline involved in staying fully present in the moment. It's hard to describe exactly how to do it. You just need to breathe. You need to slow down. You need to listen, because A Course in Miracles is telling us that, well, there's two sides. There's the Holy Spirit, which is all that is real, And there's the ego that is always trying to distract it, to distract us. I guess you could compare that to the Christian Holy Spirit and devil. I mean, traditional Christianity believes that there is an evil force. You know, A Course in Miracles says God is the only thing that's real. It's a non-dualistic thought system. There is the ego that is always trying to get our attention, even though the ego is not real. But when we let ourselves go, sometimes the ego is trying to distract us. But when we can just stop and breathe and I guess focus on the light, it is possible. It is inevitable that someday we will all return to heaven. But we really need to be, I guess, mindful. That's a big word too, mindfulness. We need to be mindful about just staying with ourselves and honoring the moment that we're in. So A Course in Miracles is saying that over and over in lots of different words. It talks about the time being vertical as to how time really is when we're connected to our creator, as to time being horizontal. That's what, you know, the world teaches, that there's the present, the past, the future. Of Course in Miracles is saying no. The only time is now. And there are many teachers that teach that. Like the one that I think of too, that is a big Course in Miracles student, is Eckhart Tolle, and how he reached enlightenment. And he has this wonderful book, The Power of Now. I mean, now is really the only time there is. And I think he reached enlightenment by being fully present with a simple task, like doing dishes or something like that. But he was fully present in the moment. And he just felt the essence of who he was by being fully connected to the moment. It's such an empowering way to live. And very few people actually live that way. And for me, sometimes I do, and a lot of times I don't. But again, when I do my daily disciplines, I feel good. When I adhere to the principles of A Course in Miracles, I feel good. And when I don't adhere to them, I don't feel so good.
So there's a lot to think about there when you speak about the thoughts from A Course in Miracles and how they've helped you to feel calm and peaceful and present, and that you need to put a lot of discipline into that. When did you notice that this shift was happening, or what went on when it started happening for you?
To be honest, the first shift that I experienced, well, when I found A Course in Miracles, it was at a Marianne Williamson seminar when I was 25 years old. And that's when a lot of light bulbs started going off in my head, because everything that she said made so much sense. When I really started emotionally feeling connected to the Holy Spirit, it was after I experienced a lot of emotional challenges in my life. I guess that's how my life's journey has worked. A lot of times, life's challenges bring unresolved feelings to the surface. And after I am able to expose the darkness within me, when I'm able to honestly look at the darkness within me, the unhealed pain points within me, when I'm able to bring them to the light, there's a lot of clarity and peace on the other side of that darkness. That's just how my life's journey in this lifetime has worked. I've gone through many different challenging situations, but on the other side of the emotional challenges, I feel a lot of peace, love, joy, and happiness. And A Course in Miracles tells us that we can learn through pain or we can learn through joy. I mean, it's much more fun to learn through joy. So consciously, if I was to choose, I would say, God, I want to learn through joy. But in this lifetime, my experience is that my times of feeling connected, the most connected to my creator, are after the times that are very turbulent. So after I spent time with my first therapist, I remember I had a really hard relationship and a hard breakup. And I was a Course in Miracles student. A lot of the women in my Course in Miracles group encouraged me to start therapy because I think a therapist can help us see clearly and process what needs to be processed. So I continued to study Course in Miracles. I also went to therapy to really look at what was within me that had not yet been healed. I remember when I started therapy, I started blaming my boyfriend, you know, well, he did this, or my ex-boyfriend, he did this. Can't you see that he's so dysfunctional? You know, and my therapist said, it's not about him, it's about you. You need to look at yourself. And that's what A Course in Miracles says too. It's never about the outside circumstances. It's never about the other person. It's about something within us that needs to be healed. And when we can really look at a situation without blaming the other person, without blaming the outside circumstances, and then to take that step further, we don't want to blame ourselves either. All we want to do is really take a look at what is there, what core pain point is there that needs to be healed. And when we can really own the pain, that's when we can get to the other side of it. But it's not like something happens once and then we're healed. It's not like we deal with one tragedy and then we reach enlightenment. It's kind of, for me anyway, it's a series of triggers, a series of challenges that come up when I'm strong enough to face what's really going on inside of me. And after I take a clear look at what is being exposed, and I just let it be. I embrace it. I acknowledge it. I own it. I love that word, own. When we can own the pain, that is what can enable us to get beyond it and feel the peace, love, joy, and happiness on the other side. Michael Singer is another brilliant speaker and author who writes about this. He's written numerous books. My favorite one so far is The Untethered Soul. He writes about how, you know, we can go through life trying to avoid pain, but that's not going to get us anywhere. Once we can actually just step into the pain instead of doing everything we can to stay away from the pain, once we can just step into the pain, then we can get to the other side of the pain and experience the true peace, love, joy, and happiness of God. And that peace, love, joy, and happiness of God is our own, you know, peace, love, joy, and happiness. But it's only by owning the pain that we can see that it's not real. We can see that it has no power over us. And it's not easy. It's not easy. It takes courage. It takes strength. And again, I mean, A Course in Miracles, it's just kind of a navigational system. It's a roadmap that makes a lot of sense to me.
So at this point, does anyone have questions or comments that they'd like to add to the conversation? Ahead, Henry.
Yeah, here's a funny question. What if there is no courage? What if the idea that courage is just a word, courage, but there is none? And what it actually is a word that's describing clarity. When a person really starts to see the choices involved, then there is no choice. But like courage is a way of saying that a person's still looking for the clarity. Does that make any sense?
So. Yeah, courage as clarity. What do you have to say to that?
Right. Courage is the person looking for the clarity. I guess for me, I can only talk for me. Courage is me being willing to face my inner demons, I guess. I'm also looking for clarity from God, from the Holy Spirit to assist me and to guide me. We all have access to courage. We all have access to clarity. There is no courage. I believe I heard Henry say. I think there is such a thing as courage. I think sometimes I'm more courageous than others. I think for me, when I'm going through hard times, sometimes being compassionate with myself and being gentle with myself, you know, are more important and more healing than being courageous. So I don't know. I think there is such a thing as courage. I do. I think A Course in Miracles teaches us how to be courageous. I don't know if that answers the question. I don't know. What other thoughts do you have on this for me to understand it better?
Like to clarify, Henry?
It's something that was happening more in the moment as Susan was talking, and then I was thinking that when I look at my own inner experiencing, then I see what she was saying about there seems times when I'm more in conflict with something, and she called them inner demons, and I don't use that word, but I understand what she's trying to emphasize, that there's parts like a person in this world has duality in their mind. That's already the given. That's already what's happening in a person. There's the good and the bad. There's the right and the wrong. There's all this judgment going on in a person's mind, and it's trying to be sorted out. And this thing that's called a Holy Spirit, or like another term for it might be the higher mind, or the super consciousness. It is accessible to anybody. And does it take courage to listen to it? You see, it's like thinking like that. It's like, well, not really. It doesn't really take courage. It's like more of just, well, when I see the clarity, when it just makes sense to me, you know, it's like I'm looking at a pretty woman on my little telephone, and she's kind of smiling, and she's got long dark hair, but what am I remembering? I'm remembering that she also has all the aspects of the mind that I have. And do I have the courage? No. Do I have the clarity to keep remembering that? And okay, it's like not seeing the other person as a body, but as a beautiful being that's experiencing a body. And it's like the clarity is, I guess I was just looking at that word courage, and I was thinking, well, how does that really fit into the way I'm thinking? And I guess for me, I was just coming up in the moment and saying, huh, I guess it doesn't work. I don't, like being courageous and saving my son from a person who's attacking him. Well, yeah, because I have a son. He's 33 years old. Now, I might do that. I don't know. Kind of like that.
So what you're saying is that there's a difference between choosing joy. That's not something courageous to do, but something that you can do. So not this emphasis that you have to overcome a huge barrier. Is that what you're saying, Henry?
Yeah, that's the right direction, yeah.
Okay, then let's look at this a little deeper. This idea that it could be easy to choose joy. Because we spoke about it a bit before, and to say, yeah, you don't need courage, you need clarity. Well, yes, you need clarity and able to make that choice. So I understand what you're saying. So choosing is something that requires clarity, because otherwise you don't know how to make a decision that fits the best of all. Yeah, so do you want to say something to that, Susan?
Well, I guess we can use Jesus Christ as an example. I'm trying to digest this topic. I mean, Jesus was very clear in his mindset and in his thinking. He is the author of A Course in Miracles. I guess that's, you know, he scribed his words through Helen Schuckman. So he is one of the clearest thinkers based on what he experienced here on this earth plane. He also was extremely courageous, and he used a lot of discipline in order to attain that enlightened state. I mean, for him to choose to undergo the crucifixion, I mean, he had both, didn't he? He had courage and clarity that this was part of God's plan for him in that incarnation, in that lifetime, in order to become the role model that we needed. But it also took a lot of courage to go through with it. So he needed both. He needed clarity and courage. I think he could have chosen not to go through with it, but he chose to go through with it. So he was thinking clearly, but he also had a lot of courage to teach that other people's vengeance had no power over him. You know, that was what the world needed to learn back then. That's what the world is still in the process of learning. So I don't think it's one or the other. I think it's both. We need clarity in terms of listening to God's guidance, and we need a certain amount of courage in order to honor that guidance, because sometimes what our inner teacher is instructing us to do is not the easiest choice. So I think to reach that place of enlightenment that we're all striving for, whether consciously or unconsciously, we need both. We need both. I don't think it's one or the other. I think it's both. That's what seems to make sense to me.
Yeah, so clarity and courage, in your way of describing it, are one, right? They come together. You have clarity, or you can also be courageous.
I don't think they're the same thing. To be clear, we need to be able to listen to our inner guidance. To be courageous, we need to honor that inner wisdom and adhere to God's guidance. So like again, going back to the Jesus Christ example, let me know if it makes sense to you. So he's sitting there. I mean, he first needed to be clear, like, is this what God really wants me to do? Does God really want me to allow these people to crucify me? Is this part of my, you know, plan in this lifetime? So he wants to be clear, you know, but then courageous is going through with it, going through with the crucifixion. Again, this is an extreme example, but with anything in life, you know, first we, to take it back to a very small a very small thing, anything in life, it's first is to be clear about what our next step in life will be, and then having the courage to go through with it. Because every time we're stepping into unknown areas, unfamiliar areas, it does require a certain amount of courage, because you know, everybody likes to stay with what's familiar to them. They like to stay with the known, you know, but to break out of the known, it takes courage, because you're going into unknown territory. So I guess for me, clarity is deciding what the right thing to do would be, and courage would be to honor it and go through with this plan. I don't think they're exactly the same thing. I guess I'd have to go to Google and look up the definition of each. I think they're two, you know, maybe similar, but different things. Clarity is just being clear about what the Holy Spirit is telling me. Courage is just taking the action, even though it might feel uncomfortable.
Okay. Maybe you want to give some examples from your own life. The example of Jesus, like you said, is a very extreme example. Maybe there's some more simple examples where we can relate to more clearly, because it's hard to relate to the decision to get crucified, but we do it in more ways than we think of, right? When we're feeling awful or whatever, you could say that's crucifying yourself or being crucified or whatever. So we are going through all of that as well, but it's a different, but it's not the same level of physical torture or whatever that was. When it turns in the Course in Miracles, he's saying that he wasn't tortured. He didn't feel tortured, right, during that. So, or the last unnecessary journey or something like that is how he describes it. So, yeah, let's look a little deeper.
Yeah, the last useless journey, I think, is how Course in Miracles describes it. It also says he doesn't want us to focus on the crucifixion. He wants us to focus on the resurrection. But I guess to take that to a more simple example. A lot of times in my life, I guess there are different choices that I can make, and I always try to choose something that is healthy and empowering. I'm thinking, you know, I mean, every time I go through any kind of change in my life, I always have to figure out what's going to be the most empowering for my life's journey. So I guess to start therapy when I was in a bad relationship, that required dedication, it required focus, it required a financial commitment, I could have continued to, I guess, remain disgruntled and see myself as a victim of circumstances, or I could have chosen to, you know, really take a look at what was really happening and start working with a therapist that could help me learn and that could help me grow. And I guess for me to choose to take a look at my I call them inner demons. I mean, I guess you can call them unprocessed pain points. You can call them wounds, emotional wounds. But for me to make the choice to really stop playing the victim and start taking a look at what was inside of me that needed to be healed. I mean, for me, that required clarity in the sense that it was the right choice for me, the one that would bring me the most long-term joy and courage, which entailed following through with that particular choice. So, and I've made different, there have been different times in my life where I've done things that were not easy, but brought me satisfaction in the long run. And I will say that most of the time when I choose the path that is a little more challenging, it brings me the most satisfaction. So I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, so choosing the path, even if it's uncomfortable, but you know it, but you have this inner knowingness about where it leads you to, is a really beautiful description of that. Yeah. Let's see, what can we go into next? Yeah, you spoke of one of the big things that are helpful is forgiveness. Would you like to describe some examples of forgiveness?
Well, a big forgiveness, I guess one of my lessons in terms of someone that I really needed to forgive in this lifetime was my father. I think growing up, he was very hard. He was very very condescending, very emotionally abusive, not intentionally, but it was just he hadn't worked through a lot of his stuff. So he kind of projected it onto me. And I have worked for years and years on forgiving him. And you know, he's not around anymore. He passed about 2 years ago. He lived a long life. He lived till the age of 97. I loved him very, very much, even though there was a lot of kind of animosity between us in certain ways. We were also very close. But I went through many years of working on forgiving him. And I found as I was able to forgive certain things about him, you know, I felt more connected to myself, which was beautiful. So that was a big point of contention in this lifetime, my relationship with my father. Probably the biggest, now that I'm thinking of it, you know, he was emotionally unavailable, and I chose many emotionally unavailable men to have relationships with, I think because I needed to forgive that quality in my father and in myself. He was judgmental, and I I dated a lot of people like him because I needed to forgive his judgment. And I guess in order to truly forgive, I mean, A Course in Miracles says that forgiveness, as A Course in Miracles teaches, is very different than how people interpret the Bible. I mean, the Bible, or a lot of traditional Christians, will see forgiveness as, if I forgive you, I'm coming from a place of superiority. I'm willing to overlook a mistake that you made, but really, I'm the better person for doing so. A Course in Miracles is saying, no, to truly forgive, you need to see that it never really happened. It was an illusion. I mean, for me, a big part of the forgiveness process is not to see myself as superior in any way to the person I'm forgiving, but just to step into the pain first, just kind of allow that pain to be what it is. And then on the other side of the pain, I'm able to truly forgive that person. That's a big part of my forgiveness process. But ultimately, forgiving someone else boils down to forgiving ourselves. That's what I found. When I forgive my father, I'm really forgiving me. When I forgive anyone else that I'm holding on to a grievance towards, I'm forgiving myself. I'm just clearing up my own energy. So forgiveness is a really empowering character trait. It's a really powerful principle, and it's the fastest way, the easiest way to bring us home to heaven. But it's just not easy to do, because you actually have to go into the pain in order to get to the other side of it. I mean, I remember one time I was living with my dad. I guess I was in my 30s, and I had been through therapy, and I understood a lot of the emotional discomfort, the turbulence that happened when I was growing up. And so I was determined to forgive him. So I remember I lived with him for, I don't know, few months, and every morning I would wake up and I would walk up to him, and I would give him a hug, and I would say, I love you. And in my mind, I would say, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you. And I was doing everything I could to intellectually forgive my father. And then I moved out, I moved back to Manhattan, New York City. And again, I started dating someone that had a lot of my father's character traits. And I realized that just by intellectually forgiving someone, it wasn't enough. I had to learn how to emotionally forgive that person. And I think to emotionally forgive someone, you have to kind of walk through the pain in order to get to the other side of it. But when you can truly forgive someone, it's the most empowering feeling to have access to. I mean, a lot of times in my meditations in the morning too, I think about people that I still hold grievances towards, and I do my best to send them love. I see myself, you know, giving them a big warm hug. I see myself releasing them. I mean, I guess it requires discipline, it requires effort, it requires diligence, it requires clarity, and it requires courage to really, you know, truly forgive someone.
Wow. Yeah. And to get beyond the emotional, to get through the emotional forgiveness. Yeah, that's a big step, because you're right, one can intellectually forgive and it still isn't gone. It's still there, still functional, and still you're still in the grievance. Yeah.
Yeah, so the world teaches us that the ego teaches us that to hold on to grievances gives us some kind of satisfaction. I mean, that's what the ego teaches. A Course in Miracles acronym for ego is easing God out. But A Course in Miracles says, no, to truly connect to our creator, we need to forgive. But again, it goes back to when we forgive someone else, the only person that we're really forgiving is ourselves. A Course in Miracles tells us that innocence is the most empowering state of mind that exists. Throughout A Course in Miracles workbook, I am innocent, I am free, I am as God created me. So when we're holding on to grievances towards someone else, we're disconnecting from our innocence. When we can forgive someone else, we can feel our innocence. And by feeling our own innocence, we remember how much power or empowerment is available to us at each and every moment. Like, you can't hold on to grievances and unforgiveness and feel your own innocence at the same time. I mean, you can't. The two are contradictory. You know, unforgiveness is of the ego. Forgiveness and innocence is of God. So I guess you've heard the expression, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? You know, I mean, I could make all the defenses in the world about why I have every right to feel upset at this particular person, you know, and I could find validation for being right, but to be happy is just to let it go. Happy is to realize that that if somebody wronged me, if somebody did something wrong to me, it was just a mistake. I mean, that's what Course in Miracles defines sin as, just a mistake or a lack of love. They forgot to love. So the remedy for that is to send them love. If somebody forgot to love and I send them some love, that's a miracle, because anything that comes from love is a miracle. So if somebody makes a mistake and I can send them love, that's a miracle. And when I extend my love, God's love, to my brother, you know, that brings me home to heaven faster. So Course in Miracles tells us also that forgiveness is not needed in heaven, because in heaven, everyone has already been forgiven. But we need to forgive each other here on earth, because, you know, we're not enlightened yet. It also says that God does not need to forgive us. God does not need to forgive us because God has never condemned us. He's not capable of condemning us, so he certainly doesn't need to forgive us. The only person that needs to forgive us is us, and that's going to help us realign ourselves with our creator. So again, it's simple. It's simple when you think of it, but it's just not easy, because it's not what the world teaches.
So in your book, you describe various processes. You probably describe things from your life examples. And do you also, what else is in the book?
I have 9 chapters plus my closing. So I start out with my introduction. It was that paragraph that I recited earlier in our talk. My passion is God. God is love and joy and beauty. Everything else is our own miscreation. And then I talk about the start of my journey, which was that place of darkness when I was suicidal. Chapter number one is depression was my darkness. So that was when I did not have the tools to process my pain. I mean, I guess a big point that I learned during that time period is that depression is very different than sadness. It's when we can feel our sadness, when we can own our sadness, it's very cathartic. It's very transformative. But when we get depressed, it's actually we're blocking ourselves from feeling the feelings that need to be felt in order for healing to occur. So I talk about the difference between depression, which really doesn't get us anywhere, and feeling our feelings, which is very cathartic and very transformational. And then chapter two is sitting with pain to feel our joy. I think I start out with that quote from Orion Mountain Dreamer's invitation poem. I want to know if you can sit with pain, mine or your own, without trying to hide it or fade it or fix it. And I talk about the importance of owning our pain. Chapter number three, boundaries rule the game of life. So setting healthy boundaries isn't about keeping other people out. It is simply about loving ourselves and making sure that other people love and respect us as well. And then chapter number four, black and white thinking poisons your perception. And a lot of that goes back to my father, you know, who is very black and white in his thinking. Chapter number five, finding joy within, that's living from the inside out as opposed from the outside in. We can't find our satisfaction in the world. It doesn't exist out there. We need to connect to that satisfaction internally first, and then extend that love to the world. So finding joy within. And then chapter six, how sacrifice sabotages joy. A Course in Miracles tells us that sacrifice is never, ever of God. God doesn't want us to sacrifice anything at all. Chapter seven, sympathy separates. Sympathy is about feeling sorry for other people. Empathy is about understanding other people. So there are two separate things. Chapter eight, freedom through forgiveness, which is what we just spoke about, how important forgiveness is. Chapter number nine, the law of attraction, you know, and that's like a big one too. Because since we're all always creating our reality, when we focus on something specific, we will see that event show up in our life because we're always creating our own circumstances. But then Course in Miracles takes it a step deeper, even though the law of attraction works and we're always creating what we're thinking about, you know, that whatever we create in the external world is never going to bring us true satisfaction. Because I've had times when I really wanted to achieve something in the world. And I knew a lot about the law of attraction. I mean, there's a lot of great law of attraction teachers, Joe Dispenza, Esther Hicks, and they're fabulous. They're wonderful. So when you can really connect to that energy of what you want to create in the world, you will attract that thing or those circumstances to you. But then you need to remember it's not that thing or those circumstances that are going to bring you satisfaction. It is God. It is accessing that place of unconditional love from within. that is the only thing that can fill our heart's deepest yearning. So the law of attraction, it works. I mean, even Course in Miracles says all thought creates form on some level. So the external world is only a reflection of an internal condition. So we're again always creating our you know circumstances and our situation. It's like we're the director, we're the producer, we're the leading actor in our life. We're always creating our own circumstances, but even when we create the very circumstances that we want, those circumstances in itself cannot bring us happiness. So, because many, many times I've created what I've wanted in the world, and then I started getting attached to that thing in the world that I created for myself, I let go of God and I found myself crashing on the other side of getting what I wanted in the world. So it's a really interesting subject. And then I have a closing as well. So I have many excerpts from A Course in Miracles outlined in my book. I have them quoted in my book. I explain to the best of my ability what they mean before and after the Course in Miracles excerpt, because A Course in Miracles is not that easy to understand. You know, I mean, for me, I had to read many people interpret A Course in Miracles before I could actually understand the words myself. And there are still parts after 33 years that are difficult for me to understand. You know, Helen Schuckman, who scribed the book, she was a professor of medical psychology at Columbia University in New York City. And she did a brilliant job, but there are still parts of the book that are difficult for me to understand. So it's so wonderful that we have so many phenomenal interpreters of the book. And as I said, the one that brought me to A Course in Miracles, who is amazing, is Marianne Williamson. I think that was the first book I read before I read A Course in Miracles, A Return to Love. And recently I'm listening to From Tears to Triumph. But she has so many great books, and there's a lot of other great interpreters as well, which I'm very grateful for. Oh, and my book also, my book, Surrender to Joy, From Suicide to Serenity. I think I do a pretty good job in clarifying the basic principles of A Course in Miracles in my own way.
So is there any question I didn't ask you'd like to answer before we start wrapping up? Take that as a no. So how can people reach you if they want to reach you?
Well, my website is surrendertojoy.net, www.surrendertojoy.net. My book is available on Amazon, Surrender to Joy, From Suicide to Serenity by Susan Michelle. And it was a pleasure being here with you today. This was really great. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us and walking each other home. And thank you everyone for joining us, for supporting the podcast in whatever way you do. Please, if you like it, review it, subscribe to it, let people know about it so that more people can listen to these conversations. And yes, for anyone who doesn't realize that you can join live as well and on the podcast Telegram channel. So, blessings to you all. Thank you so much for joining us, and blessings to you all. Bye-bye. Until next time.